Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome into another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. We're here with you every Saturday morning from 9 until 11. A lot of the guys on the road this week. So here in the Town Fair Tire Studios, Ryan Johnston, joined by Billy Jaffe, of course, part of the Bruins broadcast on NESN and part of the hockey show for the full 2 hours this week.
That's right.
Very exciting week. It's trade deadline week. Always fun. A lot of rumors out there. Couple of deals already made by Donnie Sweeney this week.
Yep.
We obviously will talk a lot about those and about what lies ahead for this Bruins team, who starting tonight will play 24 games in the next 44 days to finish out the regular season. They have just one stretch of 2 days off in a row during that span, which is next Sunday and Monday. Other than that, they will play at least a game every other day, three back-to-backs in that stretch as well. Mm-hmm. So a very busy time for this team. And what should be an exciting one tonight against Toronto. Always,
Well, no Austin
no
Matthews.
No Austin Matthews.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting for Toronto. We'll talk about that. I know we have Bob and Judd coming up from Toronto. But Austin Matthews got hurt very late in the game, the last game that Toronto played against the New York Islanders. A bit of a Malachi crunch.
Yeah, he just got sandwiched. Kind of a benign-looking play, but,
yeah.
You know, it definitely something wrong with his shoulder, right?
Yeah, shoulder or rib cage, one of the two. I got to think it's shoulder. Yeah. It seems like it. But, big trade yesterday it ended up being three teams. But Ottawa starting to make moves. I don't think they're done yet. I don't think Ottawa's done. I don't know if it's Carlson. There's rumblings of an Erik Karlsson trade, but it could be Mike Hoffman. I don't think they would trade Mark Stone, but I guess really, why wouldn't they consider anybody considering where Ottawa is at right now?
Sure.
As they have to rebuild.
Well, I mean, we've already seen it. The Rangers have started unloading this week. We mm-hmm. expected that. Mm-hmm. Ottawa is certainly a team that we've talked about before. I mean, Carlson's the big fish up there.
Yeah.
And that's...
He's kind of like that big giant squid that you don't ever see in his natural environment, you know? You have remnants of it, right? You find it in fishing nets or you find it in carcass afterwards. The reason I'm bringing up that analogy, I was just at the Museum of, Natural History in New York the last few days. Took the kids while I was at the NHL Network. And so I learned about the giant squid that they've never been viewed in their natural environment, their natural habitat.
Really?
Because they live so deep.
Okay.
Right, so now, you know, useless information on the hockey show, but
all right, there's Jacques Cousteau.
Yes, thank you. Yes, but that's what Erik Karlsson. He is the big squid of this trade deadline if it happens, and right below him would be Ryan McDonagh.
Well, and again, we've talked about McDonagh. We haven't talked as much about Karlsson, but you know that's been hanging out there for a little while about the possibility that he could get moved. But now it's starting to seem a lot more like a reality. I mean,
I think it happens. I do think McDonagh gets traded. I'll start with that. No matter what. Now I'm not saying today or this trade deadline, but if he's not traded by now by summer,
off season, right?
I'll be shocked. Yeah. I will be shocked. Karlsson, I think gets traded. I think there's the old too much where there's smoke, there's fire. I do. I think there's too much of that right now, and I think they're looking for a completely clean start in Ottawa. It's not that they don't love him and his talent. I think that there's so much. I think he's also ready. As much as he loves the city, I personally think he's ready to move on.
Well, you know, look, if you're going into rebuilding mode and you have to rebuild it, one of the fastest ways to do that oftentimes is to trade the big fish, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what's going to get you the most in return. I mean, mm-hmm. that's part of the reason why. You know, like the Rangers don't, we've talked about this, the Rangers don't need to trade Ryan McDonagh, but the return that they're going to get is going to help speed along their process.
Yeah. Well, it is going to, because they're going to get Boku assets out of it because he has term left in his contract and it's a reasonable contract hit. And I still do think the Bruins are in on it. I do. I think they're in on discussions, I mean. And I think that they're in on discussions on Rick Nash just to... It doesn't mean they're going to get him, but I do think they're in on discussions.
All right, so we talked about McDonough last week.
Mm-hmm.
Are there concerns with getting him signed?
That's got to be.
That's got to be the holdup, right? If you're.
No. I don't think that's the holdup. I think that.
Because that determines the compensation in return. If you feel like you're getting him for, you know, the next 7-8 years, then you're willing to give up more for him than if you're only getting him for a year plus a playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would. If you're the Bruins or any other team, if you feel like he's going to be a part of your team for the long term, then maybe you're willing to open up the vault a little more.
I don't disagree. My question is this, and I have to find this out, and I'm going to make a text during the break. That sounded old. I'm going to text somebody during the break. Sorry,
I'm going to use that there text machine.
Yes. I'm on that Facebook. I'm on the Facebook. Sorry, guys. I sound like a donkey. I need to know if he's a UFA after next season.
Right.
I need to know if there is a date that you can talk to that player. Meaning, if you're an RFA... Restricted, not to be confused with an unrestricted. So if you're an RFA, you can't sign a new contract until after July 1st, leading into the last year of your contract.
Okay.
Like Connor McDavid did last summer.
Right.
Connor McDavid signed the Uber deal, that mega deal, but it doesn't kick in until next summer.
All right? For the Bruins, like Charlie McAvoy, they could do that after July 1st of this year, right?
Right.
Okay.
My question is does it become the same rule intact for UFAs to be? Because Ryan McDonough,
if you could agree to an extension now, right?
Right. Because here's the thing. You could agree to a handshake extension. Let's say the player comes in and it gets hurt. Let's say it's awful. But it's only a handshake.
Right.
Player's not going to do that. But I'm just wondering, I know if he was a UFA to be, you could say to him, look, maybe you could ask the league for or the team that you're talking with for a window to talk to that player. I'm going to text somebody, though. I'm going to find out if there's not a loophole, but an opportunity to.
Right. And that would, again, if you could get that window and at least get in his ear and say, all right, any idea what you guys would be looking for? Because if he comes back and says, we really like $10 million a year, you go, that's little steep. Maybe we need to look somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if he's, if it's a fairly reasonable number where you feel like you're going to be able to get to where you need to be.
If you're the player, unless you have some type of predisposed notion, good or bad, about going to a place, why would you tell, why, you know what I mean? Like you're saying, you're going to go very high as the player no matter what.
Sure.
You're going to. And then the team's got to sit there and say, I just think it doesn't become a win-win for either. Because if I'm the player, even if Ryan McDonough, we're being very hypothetical here, says Boston is where I want to be, he's going to still say I want $9 million for a top-tier defenseman. You know what I mean? If he puts himself in the category of other top guys in the next year that are all going to be asking for 10 plus, he's maybe an inch below them, but he's going to say, okay, give me 9. I think that's going to scare off any team. And here's the thing about trading for Ryan McDonough, and I guess signing him is the biggest darn thing in the world, no question. People say, you got him for 2 years. Well, you do have him for 2 years, but let's say you don't sign him. So you're in a position next year to where he's a UFA.
Right. Are you going to keep him all the way through?
But not great. You clear some cap space and everything if you keep him and then don't re-sign him. But my point is you give up a ton. But basically, I think it's going to be at least 2, if not 3 first-round picks to get him. First-round picks could also be in the form of current players that are first-round picks. We always throw out the name Carlos. Brandon Carlo was a second-round pick, but he's a first-round pick. With regard to his play, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
2 years in the league, defenseman, playing every game.
Young top four forward, or top four defenseman.
He's a first round, and then you'd have to give up another first round pick and probably another prospect to get him. So it's a lot. It's a real lot.
Well, that's that's kind of the one that everybody has been focused on, for the most part around here, because that would be kind of again, if they don't make that deal, if the Bruins end up not getting a Ryan McDonagh, there's questions about, what are they going to do here over the next year or two? At some point, they're going to need to find a replacement for Zdeno Chara, and I don't feel like they've got that anywhere in the pipeline. The fact that you've got a guy like Charlie McAvoy, who you know is going to be, obviously mm-hmm. the wishful thinking is that he's going to be your, on your top pair for a long, long time. Like, you got to get a top quality partner to play with that guy,
right?
And you don't. You've got some good defensemen in the pipeline, but I don't know that you've got a number one.
Okay, but let's take the flip side of that. They haven't had a number one. Right D for, they had guys that were really good, and they got by with Char. I mean, Char is a freak in the most complimentary way. There are very few of those. Very few. Ryan McDonagh is not Char. Very different.
Sure.
But he's a top-end defenseman, all right? But the Bruins have been able to get by with their big boy on the left side without having a real big guy on the right side. So what now if they develop McAvoy, then they stick with Carlo, and then all of a sudden, they have a plethora of other guys to fill that third pair role, and then they just develop some real good quality. I'll throw out the name because this is the name that Bruins fans love to talk. Johnny Boychuk like guys on the left side. What if one of Lozon or Zaboral or Lindgren or Vakanainen becomes one of those guys or two of those guys? So now you win by committee versus one dominant, and you have your dominant guy on the right side. Why can't you do that?
Well, I mean, that's a what if.
L.A. does that with Drew Doughty. If Charlie McAvoy becomes Drew Doughty, you're going to say, we have our Chara-ish, but it's on the right side versus the left. And then you build around, Euro Vakanainen becomes a quality defenseman. One of Lozon or Zaboral becomes a quality defenseman. The kid Ryan Lindgren at Minnesota, you hope, becomes a quality defenseman. You still have Grizz. You still have Krug.
But that's more of so you're looking down the road for some of those guys. You're looking down the road a little while, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But you've also got, obviously you've got Chara, but you've also got Bergeron and Krejci and guys who are, not past their prime, but they're aging. So, other people are looking at this and
it's
and
a
saying,
vicious thing, aging. We all do
this
it.
This is a tight, this is a tight window with this core group, and then you're going to have hopefully another window beyond that with the young guys as your core.
And here's the good news is that I think Chara's got another year left in him after this. I don't know. Of course, I don't know how the hell he's going to play. I mean, but all indications are he's got another at least one good year left in him. So let's not get so narrow. Let's not get so, I'm not saying you're close-minded because you're not. I'm saying let's not get so myopic that something can't be done also in the offseason if they don't pull something off right now. And that there's other trades there's other moves that can happen. Just because they don't do something right now doesn't mean that something can't happen. Now, I actually think with the addition of Nick Holden, and where they're at, I think that they need more of a forward presence right now. I do. It's not an arms race like you worry just about Pitt, because Pitt you wouldn't face in theory until the Eastern Final.
Right.
But I wouldn't mind seeing another quality forward. I mean, of course I'd love a defenseman, but that's a different deal. I wouldn't mind seeing a quality forward.
Well, then we know. I mean, that's been something we've talked about throughout the season. That,
all season long.
Krejci, that Krejci line could use another winger. And and right now they've been getting by with DeBrusque and Spooner, but is that what you want to go to war with in the playoffs?
Exactly. And when it comes down to, for me, is the amount of youth that the Bruins are going to go into the playoffs with. I love them. I want to see them succeed. I know that Charlie and Sean Corrali in particular had playoff experience last year, in the first round against Ottawa. They both handled themselves very well. But you're still talking about the other players that are in their first year that have shown themselves to be really good players. Now, people might reply to me and say, hey, idiot, look what Pittsburgh does. They bring up rookies every year. Well, they've surrounded them with some great players like the Bruins have. But there's still question marks. Why do you think Pittsburgh went out and got Derek Brassard? Look at that lineup now. Riley Sheahan is now your fourth line center. And if they have to, they move him to the wing. If they want to put Carter Rowney in, he's your fourth line center.
Jimmy Rutherford loves himself some trade deadline.
Smart.
He's good at it.
It's his job.
Yep.
That's what he always says. It's my job to work with what I have and to make us better. I know it sounds so cliche and corny, but I told you what he said about the expansion draft. He says everybody out there is talking about worried about losing a bad player. It's my job to have my system replenished. Or to have my system ready to replenish that. Stop worrying about it and bitching about it. And that's my job, to be ahead of it. That's what he does. Zach Aston-Reese, who played his college hockey at Northeastern, and they gave him they signed him to a free agent contract afterwards. They gave him a timeline how things were going to work for him. And damn it if it didn't work perfectly. And he's up right now, and he's going to be playing for them.
All right, Billy Jaffe is in studio with us for the full 2 hours today. We are going to check in up in Toronto here in the next couple segments with Bob Beers and Judd Surratt. And we will talk about the trade deadline and also how things are going with this team as they get set for a big matchup with the Maple Leafs tonight. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Stick around.
Press the right pants in. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined in studio for the full two by Billy Jaffe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to talk to Bob Beers hopefully in just a minute. And Judd Surratt will be joining us coming up later on in the hour as well. They're up in Toronto where the Bruins take on the Maple Leafs tonight. Before we get to that, Billy, a couple of deals made this week by Don Sweeney approaching the trade deadline, which is Monday afternoon. They acquire Nick Holden from the Rangers. Now, again, we were talking about Ryan McDonagh. Nick Holden, not necessarily the defenseman from the Rangers that many people around here were hoping for, but not a bad move to shore up your defensive depth. I mean, we've talked about this in the past few weeks, that when you get to the playoffs, you know, you need NHL-ready guys, and you know even this is another guy that they can add to that list.
Yeah, RJ, even before you get to the playoffs, what's the number you brought up? The Bruins?
24 and 44.
Right.
Yep.
So the Bruins now are going to be for this season, this is what you would call a colossal stretch. For this 2017-18 season, the Bruins have had, for the most part, Ryan, a beautiful schedule in the sense of a lot of days off, catching a lot of teams on other ends of back-to-backs. You know, yes, the Bruins struggled with injuries early in the year, but they were able to get through it because for most of the first third of the season, they played fewer games than anybody in the entire NHL. So now, I think that, now...
They still, by the way, have played the fewest games in the NHL.
That changes
They have more games left than anybody else in the league except for Florida.
And they played Florida the last game of the year, remember, because of the postponement. This is where you're going to need probably, I'm going to say 9D. You're gonna, unfortunately, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's not going to feel well. Somebody's going to get something. It's going to happen in this major stretch that's coming up. So it's not just for the playoffs, but it's for the playoff run.
So what does Nick Holden bring to the table for people who don't know a lot about him?
A big, solid defenseman. He's not going to overly wow you, but he skates well. He's 6'3", 6'3 and a half, 200 and well over 200 pounds. A very solid defense and can play 20 minutes a night. Has done it regularly for the Rangers over the last couple seasons. But, you know, he had the one big year with Colorado, and he had an opportunity to play a bit in New York. He's not a number one shutdown pair. I'd say on a very good team, like which we think the Bruins are, he's a third pair D-man. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Penalty kill, help out, matchups. He played with Ryan McDonough at times in New York. A wonderful guy. Talked to a few people in New York. And I've talked to Nick before. Don't know him personally, but I've talked to him. But people that do know him regularly are, well, say that he's an awesome team guy, too.
All right, let's go up to Toronto. Bob Beers is joining us now on the phone from Toronto, where the Bruins will take on the Maple Leafs tonight. Good morning, Beersy.
Morning, guys. How we doing?
Doing well. Well, we were just talking about the trade that was made this week, or the couple of trades. We haven't gotten to the Vetrano one quite yet, but what's the feeling being around the team this week? A long road trip, and now, you know, the trade deadline bearing down a couple of days from now, and there's a lot of rumors floating around the team. How do you feel like they're reacting to it?
Oh, they're fine. I mean, you know, a lot of guys have been around it before. Some of the younger guys, obviously, their first time through it, and you know, you have to approach it in a way that, hey, you know, the fact that my name's being thrown around a little bit right now as a young guy, it means, you know, I'm wanted by some teams. So, but I don't think it's affecting them all that much. I mean, Donnie Sweeney's talked about the fact that he really likes this team. You know, Bruce Cassidy talked about that the other day. There's a pretty good chemistry going right now. They've enjoyed their time together up here, you know, which was the goal of anyhow coming in. This is kind of business as usual for them. There's a little bit more chatter than usual because you're up in Canada, but I can't see it affecting them all that much. They want to keep this team together if they can. They like what they've got right now.
They should like what they have, right? I mean, obviously we've seen a wonderful two-thirds of the season by the Bees so far. Obviously, Ryan and I were just talking about Bobby. They're entering their major chunk of their schedule right now, though. It's going to be the old battle of attrition. With seeing what just happened with Pittsburgh, not to be too reactionary, but do you think that you know, puts, not heat, but that puts the interest up or ratchets it up just a little bit more for Donnie Sweeney and the guys, considering, yes, we love this team, but now you see a potential of a Eastern Conference foe get even that much stronger, adding Derek Brassard?
I would be inclined to think that a little bit more if it was Tampa or Toronto. The fact that it's Pittsburgh, I mean, if you're going to face Pittsburgh, it's going to be the conference final, right?
Yep.
Like I said, I think that they like the direction that they're going in right now. They like what they have. It doesn't mean that they don't look to improve. It doesn't mean that they don't have a couple of areas that they could use improvement on. And we talked a lot about that, you know, Krejci line. Is that the ideal line moving forward? You know, that's to me, I think, is still a question mark right now. You know, on defense, for the Bruins, there's still a need. And it's not so much this year. I mean, if it came about this year, and there were a lot of rumors with Ryan McDonough, right? And so if you look at a player like Ryan McDonough or a player like him, that there's still a need for that player, but it's not necessarily this year. Do you know what I'm saying? It's going to be, as Chara starts to finish up, who is going to be the guy that eats all that minutes on the left side? And whether it's from within, and I'm not sure it is from within just yet, or you have to go out and get somebody and acquire somebody, I think that's still an area of need moving forward. But what they did here with Holden coming in is they address the depth part of it. Because if somebody went down on the left side, you know, if Chara goes down, they're in a lot of trouble anyhow. But if you know, if Crew goes down or if Grizzlick goes down, there was nobody to step in on the left side with any NHL experience. And they didn't want to move Miller over there. They don't want to move Postma over there. So they needed somebody on that side to address the depth need, which they did. But I don't know if Pittsburgh, to answer your question, I don't know if Pittsburgh making that move makes it reactionary for the Bruins just yet, because it wouldn't be till the conference finals. And I think a lot of people would be pretty happy to make it to the conference finals.
Bob Beers joining us from up in Toronto, Bruins Maple Leafs tonight. All right, putting all the deadline stuff aside, three games in 4 days last week to open up this five-game road trip up through Western Canada. The loss to Vancouver, they come back, they beat Calgary in overtime, they beat Edmonton the next night as well. What was your evaluation of those three games out west?
Well, Vancouver was just something that had been building, right? They'd been getting away with some mistakes defensively in some previous games, and it just all came to a head, and it was bound to happen sooner or later. We kind of talked about it this season. They really hadn't gotten blown out in any games, maybe since early when they played Colorado. But some of the mistakes that they made in Vancouver was reminiscent of some of the mistakes they had made early in the season defensively with the chances that they were allowing against. So that was first and foremost, okay, let's get that out of the way. Let's have a practice, you know, tough practice, figure out some things, which they tried to do anyhow before that. But finally, you know, when you get six put up against you, say, okay, we got to figure some things out here. And they did that. They played better defensively against Calgary, especially early in the game. They certainly played well defensively against Edmonton. So they got, you know, they got a couple of good wins there. I think Calgary was a tough game, a real tough game. They ran into a hot goaltender. They even ran into a hot goaltender in Edmonton with Talbot because he kept them in there for a while until they broke through in the third period. So you hope that those defensive mistakes are cleaned up, and that's an area that the Bruins were airtight against Toronto the last time that they played them. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was at TD Garden, so they had the matchup advantage in that one. So we'll see how Mike Babcock and Cassidy go at it tonight, matchup-wise. There's not going to be any Austin Matthews here today, but looking forward to this game tonight. You know, I like the way the Bruins played against Toronto last time they played them, and now an opportunity again, you know, probably a probable first-round matchup, but, you know, you still got some other things that can happen. Boston can, you know, could pass Tampa. Some things could happen here in March that, you know, with all the games coming up for the Bruins. But if it ended today, this is a first-round matchup, so pretty exciting to kind of look forward to two good teams going at it.
Bobby, with much of your answer, you're leading me perfectly into where I wanted to go with the Bruins defending against Connor McDavid. I know it's not a one-man team, but maybe in Edmonton it may be, for the most part, yeah. along with Draisaitl. And Zdeno Chara and his teammates, Bruce Cassidy, after the game, talked about handing him off, meaning as he came down the ice, you know, from one to the other. But that's as beautiful a performance, I thought, by Zdeno Chara. And we've seen it. How many have you seen over your years with the Bees, Beersy? I mean, what he's done. But for a guy that supposedly can't skate that well, damn if he isn't good against some of the guys that can really skate well with his spacing, his reading. And as a former defenseman, do you ever get tired of watching that? I mean, how he handles those big guys.
And he's improved so much, Billy, with his footwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, when you've got to watch him go from a standstill, and that's not going to be an advantage for any defenseman when you've got McDavid coming down. You've got to make sure you're not flat-footed. Mm-hmm. And he's made some D look silly this year with his speed. You know, so you try to, if you're forward, you try to slow him up. And you try to, when you talk about hand him off, so you know, you get in his face right away, try to slow him up, especially when he swings deep in the zone to get that head of steam coming up and picks up the puck in flight. So if you can try to slow him up in that area, that's going to help. Well, by the time he gets to the defenseman, you know, he's not going full speed. But there's a couple times in that game where he was, and that's going to happen. And, you know, Chara was able to keep him to the outside. You know, he wasn't able to get around Chara. He had the one pass in the first period, I think it was, with Maroon going to the net, where he had all kinds of speed going wide, and Char got his feet moving quickly going backwards, and just, you know, he contained him to where he needed to be on the outside. So yeah, he was quiet in that game, and a lot of that credit goes to Char. He's done a great job this year. I mean, you know, Matthews was quiet in the game in the Garden. Some of that, you know, is Patrice Bergeron going against him head to head in that game too. So you know, the other area too, that Bruce Cassidy, I mean, a lot of that's focused on Char, but you know, he likes his fourth line matchup against some of these top lines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other teams will try to use that to their advantage and put a top line out there against Corrali's line. And Corrali, you know, he can skate. He can move. And so can Schaller. And they can get, you know, they can force teams. They can make it harder on teams coming up the ice. And that's something that he's looked at. And he's got that luxury right now of having probably three lines that he can count on in defensive situations. And he's comfortable with any of those three on the ice.
All right, Bobby, we appreciate the time this morning, and enjoy the rest of your time up in Canada.
All right, guys. Thanks.
I'm sure it's been a tough, tough trip for you guys, having a few days off in Toronto. We didn't even address that. But
not really, Billy. Not so much lately.
Not a bad city to have a couple of extra days in.
You know, Western Canada is always so much fun. It is, because, you know, especially for Bruins people, and I've always been with an Eastern team, you don't get out there often. And when you do, it's just got this different vibe, right?
Yep.
West, and then you come back east and you have 3 days off.
I mean, Toronto, if you've never, Toronto's a world class city.
It is. It's so much fun. It's the Chicago of Canada.
Yeah.
And that's a fun place.
All right. Tim McCone gives us Sports Hub headlines. We're going to be joined by Judd Surratt coming up next as we continue to take a look at the trade deadline and the Bruins week here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on the home of the Bees, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston along with Billy Jaffe in studio for the whole show this week. Kind of rearranging things with all the guys up north of the border with morning skates and whatnot. So
Joe Haggerty, who's normally with us around this time, will join us actually coming up at 10:30 this morning in Billy Jaffe's normal slot, since Jaffe's already here. And we have already talked with Bob Beers, and now we are joined by Judd Surratt from up in Toronto as well. You can hear he and Beersy on the call tonight as the Bruins take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff. What's up, Judd?
Not much. Let's get this trip going again.
I know, right? We were just talking to Beersy.
Trip's been going. Stop it.
A few extra days off on the road in Toronto.
You're talking the hockey portion of the trip. Stop this.
There might be some truth to that.
No, he just can't wait to get to Buffalo tomorrow is eating at him.
I can tell you right now, everybody with the Bees organization that's on this nice 8-day or 9-day is saying, all right, Buffalo, 5 o'clock. Thank you for making it at 5.
At least we get out of there.
Two less hours, yes.
All right, so we've been talking obviously about the trade deadline and all of that and some of the rumors that are surrounding this team and the reaction to it. But
oh boy,
what I'll ask you is, you know, coming into the last couple of games before the deadline here on Monday, How aggressive do you think that Don Sweeney is going to be? We've already seen the trade to bring in Holden. Frank Petrano goes out, and they replace the third-round pick that they gave up to get Holden. How much more do you think that we may see, or does that all depend on what the asking prices are?
Well, I think, you know, both are true. I don't think that the Bruins are willing to throw away what their future looks like, because the window is wide open considering some of the prospects and the picks that they have in their system. Now, that said, if you look around the National Hockey League and you look at the way that this team has played, you want to reward them and you want to give your team the best opportunity to try and capture the Stanley Cup. As I look at this team right now, and it certainly looks more and more this way, that it sounds like they're going to add some sort of depth up front to give them some help on the wing. Maybe a guy who can play with David Krejci or a guy who can move up and down your lineup. Because as we've seen here from Bruce Cassidy here in the last couple of weeks, he shifted around David Backes a little bit. He's flipped his centers a little bit with Bruce Cassidy. And you've had some results, whether it's against Calgary or the other day in Edmonton. But that's the way it's starting to look to me. And again, as far as a bigger deal, and obviously Ryan McDonagh is a name on the back end, you know, and then up front, I think teams that like the chemistry that they have don't want to disrupt the room and the roles heading into the playoffs in great degree, because I think that those teams often, they struggle as they get deeper into the playoffs. So I do see a depth move upcoming. What that is, I'm not necessarily sure.
Do you think that adding a guy like Brassard to the Pittsburgh lineup, and I know Pitt's in another division, I get all that, but do you think that upsets that room? I don't. I think that's a beautiful move for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
No, I don't. Think so. But I think that there was a need there, Billy. Certainly for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's not a grandiose personality. I don't think that this upsets the apple cart where mm-hmm. it puts everybody out of place. Mm-hmm. I think that this was a void. They have needed a guy like that. Not necessarily. He doesn't have the same skill set as a guy like Nick Bonino, but they needed a guy who could play second or third line and sort of shift around in there and play various roles, whether it was power play or penalty kill, and provide some offense for you. So I think that I don't think that he upsets things. But I think oftentimes I see teams that bring in either big-name players or big-name personalities, and it shifts the roles and the chemistry in the room, and I think it's to the detriment to a lot of those teams. You know, I think if you look...
Would Rick Nash be too big of a personality?
Who's that?
Rick Nash? I don't think so.
No, he's not. I don't.
Yeah.
But I do think that the prices, are going to be exorbitant. I don't. You know, he's generally regarded as a quiet guy mm-hmm. in the room. Mm-hmm. I think some of that is also reflected with his play on the ice. I don't want to take away from his skill set, because he can be valuable power play, penalty kill. He certainly played 5-on-5 in a shutdown role in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that he's necessarily that guy, and you could probably slot him in on the right side with a guy like David Krejci, and I don't think that you necessarily upset the apple cart. But I think I see teams, you know, that bring a guy in, and all of a sudden, wow, I'm not getting the ice time that I used to. I'm not playing with that guy anymore. I'm not seeing the ice in these certain situations. Those teams don't make it far in the playoffs.
Judd Surratt joining us from up in Toronto. Bruins Maple Leafs tonight at 7 o'clock, and he and Beersey will have the call of that. Frank Vetrano gets traded down to Florida this week for a third-round draft pick. Not a bad move. Again, replaces the third-rounder they gave up in the Holden trade. In fact, they move up significantly in that third round in the draft. Why do you feel like it didn't work out here for Frank Vetrano?
That's difficult to say, Ryan. You know, because I didn't see his entire body of work. I only had a chance to see what he did this year. And as Bruce Cassidy alluded to the other day at practice, he was outplayed by a couple of wingers. He was outplayed by Danton Heinen. He was outplayed by Jake DeBrusk. And when Frank had his opportunities, he's a scorer. He's a shooter. We didn't see any of that. It never materialized for him. And, you know, we talk about this all the time when injuries happen, and certainly the Bruins had a rash of them in the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season. Well, that was an opportunity for a guy like Frank Vetrano. He never seized it.
Yeah, I just felt, and I saw his body of work his whole time here, you know, just too one-dimensional, not enough multi-dimensional. Phenomenal shot. You could argue the best release on the team. And he tried bringing a different element to his game this year, got faster. But when it's all said and done between the injuries, and I don't think that there was, as Judd said, he got outplayed. I don't think there was enough that Frank Vetrano just had him. It was good for him, and it was good for the team. I look at that move as a win-win. I did not think they would get a third-round pick back for him. I didn't.
I didn't think so either, Billy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good pickup. And listen, maybe Frank will be able to find some success in a different system with a different coaching staff and a different group of players that are around him. But I think the other thing with Frank is, you know, he was out of the lineup for a long period of time. Then the Bruins had a few more injuries, and then Frank stepped back into the lineup. And, you know, oftentimes he was there taking penalties. I understand you were a step behind, but there has to be a level of intelligence that you play so you don't put your team at a disadvantage. And, you know, Frank found himself in the box a number of times, and I don't think that necessarily helped his cause here down the stretch.
Mm-mm. No way.
All right, tonight, game against Toronto. As we mentioned earlier, Austin Matthews isn't going to play tonight after he got banged up the other night, but this is the kind of the team that everyone's got circled as the probable first-round opponent. What do you expect this game tonight?
I think we're going to see a lot of intensity. I think the fascinating thing, though, Ryan and Billy, is that we have not seen either team at full strength going head-to-head thus far here in the first three matchups. For the last matchup, Brad Marchand suspended. For the first two matchups, Austin Matthews out of the lineup because he was concussed. So I don't want to derive too much out of what happens tonight and whatever the outcome is. But I do think that you'll see a Bruins team that played very similar to the one that we saw at TD Garden, and they dominated. You know, I think that they certainly left an impact with the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was a team that was thoroughly dominated in that last matchup. Even though the score was 4-1, it was much more lopsided than that. I think for the most part, the Bruins did not give the Leafs a sniff. One of the interesting things that we're going to have to watch heading into tonight's game is, what does Bruce Cassidy do on the back end? It certainly sounded like Nick Holden would not play tonight, but there's a chance that Kevin Miller could.
I would absolutely expect Miller to play, and I wouldn't surprise me tomorrow if Nick Holden got into the lineup with the quick turnaround, the 5 o'clock. And I'm not saying 100%. I'm saying it wouldn't surprise me. But you're going to start seeing, Judd, all these games now. This is, as I called it, this is the monster part of the Bruins schedule. You know, this move to bring in Nick Holden wasn't just for the playoffs. It was for this run, too, because you're starting this crazy stretch of back-to-backs and every other day playing. There's going to be some battles and some injuries and some illness and some performance that's going to need some other guys to step up, meaning they have to come
in
the lineup.
I totally agree with you, Billy, because if you look at it, I think it's after the game against Montreal, which is a 5 o'clock start at TD Garden. The Sunday and Monday after that are the only two back-to-back off days that the Bruins have off between now and the end of the regular season. So it's going to be a grind, and it's going to be rigorous here up until the end of the regular season. The other thing with Nick Holden is I think the Bruins want to see him in there. There's no way to really learn the system unless you're able to go out there and try and execute it. And it's a little bit different, as you talked about yesterday at practice, because the Rangers primarily played man-on-man, and he played man-on-man under Patrick Waugh, for the Colorado Avalanche.
Crazy man, man.
The handoff system that the Boston Bruins and the layers that Bruce Cassidy and Kevin Dean try to employ in the defensive zone.
All right, Judd, we appreciate the time. We'll be listening tonight.
All right, see you, boys. Mm-hmm.
Judd Surratt joining us from Toronto. That's an interesting, you know, as you kind of put that together with learning the system, anybody that you bring in this weekend, as you get to the trade deadline on Monday, you have, like, no practice time between now and the end of the season.
Yep.
You know, Judd just mentioned you've got one back-to-back days off left, and that's next Sunday and Monday. Other than that, you have one day in between games or no days in between games.
And
they're not going to be doing a whole lot of practicing in the next 44 days.
Don't forget, there's league-mandated, CBA-mandated days off.
That
you have to have a couple of them a month. So the Bruins management coaching staff is going to have to come up with this, which they already have. They come up with their schedule. My guess is that, you know, they're going to try to find ways to maximize practice and take, you know, you'll get days off in between games here and there. This is going to be a challenge for Nick Holden. There's going to be more video involved. There's going to be a lot of communication with Kevin Dean involved, an awful lot. And people say, well, what's really the big difference in the system? The difference is that the D do not move into certain areas on the ice, especially when plays come up the wall. Instead of staying with your guy all the way up the wall, around the circle, et cetera, you kind of work, you sift your way back to the middle of the ice, back to the center to protect that middle area, and you hand off to a winger. But if you stay with your opponent too long, and the winger decides to go over there too, because that's the delineation usually, you know, especially after the coming up the circle, let's say. And what I'm talking about is if there's an opponent of the Bruins in the offensive zone, and the forward, say, cycles the puck back up, not right towards the net, but back up around the circle to make an attempt to come back to the net, the D stays them to a certain point, but depending on where the puck goes and how high the D goes or how high the opponent goes, there's got to be a handoff there. And if you go and you got two guys on one, that's a no-no.
Billy Jaffe is joining us in studio for another full hour. Joe Haggerty will join us coming up after 10:30. In between now and then, we can take your calls on the Bruins at the trade deadline, 617-779-0985.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hour number two of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston joined by Billy Jaffe for the entire show. If you are just joining us, you missed out on Billy Jaffe's deep sea adventures in the first hour, along with conversations with Bob Beers and Judd Surratt. But most importantly, we learned all about squid.
Well, the giant squid.
Yes.
The giant
and
squid.
And we learned that Erik Karlsson is the giant squid.
Of this trade deadline, yes. You rarely see him in his natural habitat. You rarely see a trade like that happen at this time of year. But it could happen. It feels like it feels like it happened. There's a few guys out there that are starting to put some stuff out there that there's going to be a big deal by Monday involving Ottawa.
Should mention, Canada wins the bronze medal with a win over the Czech Republic this morning, 6-4. Two goals for Chris Kelly, who probably is his last professional game or thereabouts, right? I mean, getting ready to hang it up.
What a great end, if it is the end for Chris Kelly. What a great end for him. This is a wide-open tournament. What a story for German hockey. Marco Sturm, former Boston Bruin, the head coach of Team Germany. Yeah. I give him a chance, I do, against the Orr. I do. That mighty Orr team, the Olympic athletes of Russia. Orr is going to be favored. They're going to be favored, no question about it. But they haven't been ultra impressive. So if Germany has got one more game up their hockey sleeve, go for it. Everybody's rooting for Germany.
By the way, I saw this morning the trailer for this. If you haven't seen this, coming up, I think it's going to premiere this coming week, I want to say. The Olympic Channel is going to be running a documentary on the 1998 Olympic hockey tournament, the first one that the NHLers took part in. Looks fascinating. And so that's airing, I think, first time on the 28th, it said. Mm-hmm. So look for that. Check your local listings.
Nagano, Japan.
Yes. Should be very interesting.
Oh, dorm rooms, beware.
Yes. Well, that was one of the things they say in the trailer. It's like the U.S. had the greatest team in the country. Well, yeah, not so much as it turned out. All right. So we're talking about the trade deadline. The Bruins, obviously, a lot of rumors surrounding them over the course of the past few weeks. And we'll see what happens here over the next couple of days. Leading up to Monday's trade deadline, we've talked about Ryan McDonagh. A lot of this, you know, centers around the New York Rangers. And Nash's name has come up a couple of times today. And I want to get your thoughts on him because, look, this is a guy who he obviously has a lot of talent, but I don't know that he is exactly what I'm looking for this team. I feel like he could be a boom or bust if you bring him in here, that there's a legitimate chance that he could come in here and really not give you a whole lot in the playoffs.
Why?
Because of his history.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs. He's not been a big money guy.
Yeah, in the playoffs, he hasn't scored like he has in the regular season. He has played 1,049 games, and he has 434 goals, 799 points. That's not bad numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad at all. In the playoffs, and I've said this before, he has 15 goals in 77 career games. His biggest output of playoff output was 14-15 season when he had 5 goals and 14 points. The year before, when they went to the Stanley Cup, lost to L.A., the Rangers I'm talking about, he had 3 goals and 7 assists. But he played a different role. He had a lot of shots. He had a ton of shots. He just wasn't scoring as much. His shooting percentage has gone down. This is a guy that, you know, in the last couple of years, has relished a bit of a different role. He's also been injury prone too, RJ. You know, he's played 60 games this year, but previously 67, then 60. And I still like him. I still think he's a good fit on this team. I don't think, and we touched on this with Bob Beers, his personality is not one of, you know, look at me, you know, needing to, you know, even in his interviews, it's more soft-spoken. Now, is that indicative of his personality? Yeah, I mean, it is. And is that his personality on the ice? Well, he could be an excellent 200-foot player.
Mm.
He really can. It's such an obvious statement, but it's all going to come down to what the demands are. What is it going to take from the Rangers to get it done? Because you're not re-signing him. I don't see that.
Right.
I don't see that. He's not going to get anywhere near the $7.8 million he's made the last, what, 6-7 years? A deal that he signed in Columbus when he was regularly scoring 30-plus goals and getting his 60 to 70 points, which, you know, he was the franchise there. He did have 69 points in the 14-15 season, 79 games, 69 points. He can do it. It's just, it's not as prevalent now. But with a guy like, we're saying Krejci, whatever, in this type of team, could he do it? He can still skate. He can. It's a powerful fast. It's not quick fast. It's powerful.
So, a lot of it depends on what the asking prices are. I get that. But
Grabner got you a second-round pick and a top prospect.
Right. So, again, top prospect in this organization, like how would you measure up? Yeah, I was going to ask.
I don't know the kid, the Russian kid.
Rykov?
Rykov. I haven't seen him play, so for me to say with an educational analysis wouldn't be fair. But you look at the list of Bruins prospects, you know, in no particular order, and but they're going to ask for, you know, Donato. They're going to ask for Seneshin. I don't, you know, he's not as polished perhaps as others, but you're going to ask for Forsback or Carlson. You're going to ask for, I'm sure there would be an ask for Lausanne, maybe Zboril. You know, Jeff Gorton's a Mass guy, so I think he knows the college kids pretty well. Would he be comfortable? You're asking Rick Nash, your Team Canada.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to ask for a lot.
By the way, if you didn't see Ryan Donato back in school,
yeah,
and
2 days after coming
goal
back.
And an assist and 12 shots on goal last night against Brown in a 6-4 loss for Harvard. So
good win for Brown, not a great loss for Harvard.
No,
and the Harvard team is they're good. They're not great this year. The class of the ECAC is Cornell. Clarkson's up there. There's a few other teams, but it's Cornell. They won it last night.
If you're waiting on Donato, just to give you a heads up, it looks like Harvard's getting a bye in the first round of the ECAC, so it'll be another couple of weeks at least before playoff run would potentially come to an end.
Right. He could be done, though. So playoffs start a week from yesterday.
Right.
So he could be done as early as I didn't realize they are getting home ice.
Yeah, I think their setup is the same way as the Hockey East, where it's like the top five or top four buys.
They got in barely. Yeah. Huh? So he could be done though by the weekend of what, March 9, 10.
Right.
Now the weekend after that is the ECAC final, and that's the Final Four. Right, Final Four make it there.
Right,
and I mean he could be done as early as March 10th. And people are asking me regularly. I'm all for Ryan Donato doing this. Come back, see what you can do helping your team out there. They are going to need a major upset to win the ECAC championship to get into the NCAA tournament.
Right, so which would get them into April.
Obviously. Into the April, yeah. Right. St. Paul, April 5, 6, 7 is the NCAA Frozen Four. So if they don't make it, if they don't win the ECAC, let's say they win their playoff, they get to the ECAC, he could be done March 16 or 17. I think that's great. And then I've said this all along. I think then he comes and signs a contract with the Bruins then. That's my guess.
And burns that first year, right?
That's my guess.
All right, let's get to some of your calls here. 617-779-0985. Maria is in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, guys. How are you this beautiful morning?
Good.
Hungry.
I can't do that every week. You just have to, send me a little message, and I'll make a special sandwich just for you, Billy.
Thank you, Maria.
With regard to the upcoming trade deadline, now that the Bruins have added some defensive depth with Nick Holden, my preference would be to, try to focus on getting someone to play on that wing with David Krejci. Having said that, what are your thoughts about who is currently out there that would be better suited for that role without having to give up a ton of assets? Number two, my next question is anything that the Bruins do potentially impacted by the fact that Matt Beleski is sitting down, languishing in the AHL with a, pretty decent-sized contract? And my last question is for the Montreal Canadiens. How's that trade working out for you guys? Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Maria.
Yeah, that was an awful trade. Drouin?
Yeah.
For Sergachev? Wow.
They made it's not the only questionable trade that they've made. Recent years.
Well, and unfortunate injury for Shea Weber. Now, of course you shut him down, but that hasn't helped the team, not having him out of the lineup for much of the season. Working backwards, Beleski's contract, it would be great. Yeah, I mean, they've been able to put, what is it? They get a cap relief of $2 million with, or so with him in the minors.
Something in that neighborhood,
they still have to pay, they still have the cap hit of $925 or million, basically $1 million at the NHL level. It doesn't help, but I'm not saying it's okay just because of that, Maria, but there's a lot of other teams that have had to bury some money in the minors. If they could figure out a way to move the deal, they would. And I guarantee you they're trying to kick tires on certain teams that may be looking to add salary to their team because they're going to try and, extricate themselves from other stuff. Lastly, who else is out there? I mean, the names that you keep hearing besides Nash from New York, Patrick Maroon from the Edmonton Oilers, Thomas Vanek from the Vancouver Canucks. Now, if you really, you want to start going through the list of teams out there that aren't in the playoffs, and I've done a fair amount of this, Ottawa Senators, I don't know if they would do it, but, I mean, if you could work out a deal for Mike Hoffman, I'd consider that. I would, but would he trade him in division? I don't know if it matters anymore to Pierre Dorion. There's a lot of rumblings about Hoffman, but that would be a big deal happening too. And they need as much help as they can get. The Bruins then would have to be willing to see some of their top prospects part of the Ottawa Senators organization. Vancouver, to me, I understand people have been not pining. That's not a fair term. Suggesting Thomas Vanek. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't like 2 years ago at Minnesota, he had no goals in 10 playoff games. You're slowing your team down. People say, well, Patrick Maroon slows your team down too. It's a different kind of slower though. It's a power. He's a power player compared to Vanek, who isn't.
Number one, some people are colored by the fact that Thomas Vanek has always been a Bruins killer.
He kicks their ass.
Always.
All the time.
No matter where he's played, and he's played in this division a fair amount. But his best days are behind him.
Look where he's played. You know, this year, Vancouver. Last year, Detroit. I know he had 38 points in 48 games in Detroit, and then he played 20 games in Florida, too, in last year. I mean, he's bounced around a lot. I'd like to think that his give-a-heck meter would be at a big-time high if you bring him in, only because, you know, you're talking about maybe the last kick at it for Vanek. I have a lot of respect for where he scored his goals and everything, middle of the ice tipping and stuff, but I think when it's all said and done, it just doesn't do anything much for me in playoff hockey. If I think of battles and whatever, it doesn't do that much for me. The Detroit Red Wings could have a few players, whether it's Gustav Nyquist, I mean, you know, but an Abdelkader's got too much left on his contract and he's not fast enough. I mean, you know, I'm going through, and I've done this exercise. I've gone through a lot of teams out there. One team that's curious to me is Columbus. You know, they're just hanging on. Are they going to make a big move to try and do something with regard to making the playoffs? Are they going to start readjusting there? There could be a few guys there. So, Maria, when it's all said and done, there's nobody, by the way. I was looking at Arizona, too. There's nobody there. They already trade Toby Reeder out of there as well. But it's limited. I think Nash and Maroon, I could see them both making sense. Again, depending on the demand, I could see them both making sense in the Bruins lineup.
All right, 617-779-0985. If you want to jump aboard with us for some trade deadline talk, it's Johnston and Jaffe here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirott, and Bob Beers. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. And the hockey show here with you until 11 o'clock. Joe Haggerty will join us coming up in about 15 minutes or so. 617-779-0985. NHL trade deadline is just a couple of days away. It is Monday afternoon. Nesson will have live coverage, yes, by the way, with Billy Jaffe and company. 2:30 to 4 on Monday?
Yes.
All right.
2:30 to 4 o'clock Monday. Maybe doing a few hits for the NHL Network at that time, too. They're going to have complete coverage starting at 8 a.m.
Love it.
On the NHL Network, they will also, you know, they will have some of their own, and they'll also partner with Sportsnet out of Canada for the all-day affair, which for the years that I was going up there doing that, I mean, that was in studio at 10 to 6 in the morning, 6:30 start talking.
First trade ends up happening
2 o'clock.
Noon, 1 o'clock. It's like you guys are sitting around for hours talking about, you know, what could potentially happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's champagne and fireworks when somebody finally moves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great. I get nothing done at work all day Monday.
No.
Guaranteed. I just, because I spend most of my time watching that. All right. So that's coming up on Monday. We've been talking a lot about that. We were running down, Maria asked about the list of who else might be out there. You talked a little bit about, some of the names that have been bandied about. Maroon is one that seems to be, getting a lot of play here. Unrestricted free agent. Edmonton obviously is in a position to be sellers here. I mean, do you have a sense of where the price might be for a guy like that and how much, how he would fit in here?
I don't have a sense. I mean, you got to figure second round pick minimum. A lot of people want prospects thrown out, too, because they see the value, RJ, of prospects stepping in
right.
and the way the game is going. I didn't think that they would get a second rounder and a top prospect for Grabner. But, you know, I thought it was more of a buyer's market than it was a seller's market. And it goes to show you what I know. You know, by the way, I didn't think they got fleeced by it. But it was, you know, Grabner's... He's a good player. He's a good player. I don't know if he's a great player. He's a good situational player. He scores a lot. Now, going to the other players out there, they want that prospect that they can maybe step into the lineup next year where the management and fans can see some tangible results.
Right.
And so...
You know, right, as opposed to a draft pick where you might be three years away.
Yeah. So, to tell you, I mean, I'm texting some people right now to see where the market may be at. And it's not that it's quiet. I just think that it's just percolating. My guess is that there, you know, something will happen today, and then obviously tomorrow more will start coming down. It was interesting that they moved Grabner quickly.
Yeah, that it happened, you know, so far before the deadline.
Yeah, but I think this is the way that a lot of management work. They say, look, we're going to set a price as what we absolutely think is the best, and we're not gonna fall victim to holding on and holding on and holding on, because then some other team might try and go get something else. And that's what I'm guaranteeing you, that the Rangers and the Devils, they both said, you know what, this is what we know we would need to move him to you in the first ever trade between those two teams.
Is it really?
That's what I found out. I was talking with Scott Stevens. I was on the air with him at NHL Network that night. We were joking about, you know, like a McDonough or a Nat, because McDonough, yeah, he'd look great. The Devils could use that help on the blue line. We're joking about it on the air. I'm like, oh, they can make a trade together. And, you know, Scotty's like, oh, yeah, you know, maybe. And they made a trade. I texted him. I said, here you go. They made a trade.
That also helps set the market, obviously. You know, when you make a deal a few days before the deadline, other teams now kind of judge off of that.
I guess.
You know, all right, so this is the going rate for a guy like Michael Grabner, so adjust accordingly.
Right. So, not having his stats right in front of me, I'm going to pull up Patrick Maroon and compare him to Grabner. So, if you want to pull up Grabner, I mean, Maroon has played 358 career games, and he has a career 75 goals, 165 points. He only has one 20-goal season last year when he scored 27. Grabner's
on the other hand, he's on his fourth 20-goal season right now.
Right. And Grabner's been in the league a bit long. How many career games does Grabner have?
297. Oh. Or, no, I'm sorry, 532.
Right. He's been in longer than Maroon has. But if you're saying that Grabner, not you personally, but if you're saying that Grabner has more value because of the higher velocity goals, amount of goals that he scored, then Maroon's going to be moved for no more than a second-round pick. That's what you would, using that market, comparable. This year, Patrick Maroon, 57 games, 14 goals, 30 points, three of them on the power, none of them on the power play, sorry. He doesn't have one power play goal this year.
In 25 goals.
Right? No.
Yeah, no. Not a single power play goal. 24 at even strength and one shorthanded goal.
No, you're talking Grabner. I've
got Grabner in front of me. Yeah.
Yeah, you have Grabner.
Yeah.
I'm talking Maroon. This year, he doesn't have one power play goal.
Well, neither does Grabner.
Grabner has six or seven or eight empty net goals. People say, oh, but look at all those goals he scores empty net. The issue is this, though. They trust him to put him on the ice to close out games.
That was always the issue here with Lucic. People always complain about that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, half his goals are empty net goals. Mike is in Rhode Island. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Mike?
A couple of questions. One, do you think the Bruins have any inclination or interest in Brian Gionta? And if so, third, fourth line, maybe put him on the wing. And second question is, I know there was interest a couple of years back about the Bruins being interested in Alex Edler. So maybe if they were in talks with Vancouver for Vanek, do you think Edler would be a part of that at all?
I appreciate the call, Mike.
I didn't mind Alexander Edler's game the other night when I saw him against he was out there with Gudbranson a lot against the Bruins top line. I thought Edler played well. I did. I thought he showed himself very well and moved well. But you know, on the year he's a minus 14 with a team that isn't that good. You know, if you're again, then you're talking, you're bringing in two players from the Vancouver Canucks.
Right.
And now you're talking about, he's a left shot defenseman. Now you're talking five left shot defensemen that you've got. Unless you're, are you moving out one of your prospects for Alexander Edler?
Yeah.
You're moving out a guy, you know, I don't see that. Where else did he ask?
Oh, he asked about Gianta.
I've been saying that for a while. I've been saying that could be. I mean, that's a total depth move. Hey, Brian, you know, look, if you want to come along for the ride and spot you here and there, I think that's a big time. Because last year, they were in on him. They were in on him last year, and I don't think he wanted to. I don't think Gianta was sure what he wanted to do come playoff time. So Gianta had kind of control of some.
So I mean, he's coming off the Olympics, obviously, that would have to be done by Monday for him to be playoff eligible. They got to get that.
Well, that's easy enough.
The other one that people ask about is Jerome Iginla started skating with the Providence Bruins this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out. He came off a surgery, so no idea where he's at physically. But could that potentially be a possibility? Because he says, you know, he'd love to try and take one more shot at winning a cup.
Love the guy. Ton of respect for him. I don't know if I see the fit. I just don't. I don't know. But, if you're going to want to play a viable major role, is that going to happen with the pace of the game where he's at? You know, he doesn't have to jump in and start playing immediately, so he could start practicing and take 3 weeks and then get into games. But it's obvious you've got a right shot for that kind of presence. You never have enough of it. But in a game action, can you foresee that being possible? I don't know.
Right. All right, Tim McCone's going to give us Sports Hub headlines. Joe Haggerty will join us from NBC Sports Boston coming up next on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub and The Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston along with Billy Jaffe. And now joining us as well, live from north of the border, is Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston Bruins insider. Good morning, Hags.
Good morning, boys. What's happening?
Well, a lot happening. We're going through all the rumors and innuendo of the past week.
It's the dartboards. It's the NHL version of dartboard darts, right? You know, everybody's got a dartboard out. Let's put a team and a face up there and throw it at the dartboard. Let's see who's going where.
Just spin the big wheel and see who comes up. You know?
Yeah, whatever happens.
In the style of a guy like Billy Jaffe that likes his pasta, it's a version of let's just throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
just cook it al dente.
So what's sticking for you, Hags? What's got legs here? You know, who are the – we've already seen the Bruins make a couple of deals, but, I said earlier this week, I feel like, you know, that's maybe a prelude to something a little bit bigger.
Could be. I mean, I think when you look at all the pieces, it makes sense that the wheels are in motion for a bigger deal, you know, the massive surplus of defense they have now, the fact that they still, are in the hunt, so to speak, to get a big name defenseman, the fact that they still need a veteran winger. I would tend to think a bigger deal if they were going to pull the trigger on it, perhaps could even bring both back in a trade. That would be interesting, and that would be, that would qualify as blockbuster. You know, so I think that's, you can't discount that, and I think that certainly could happen. The word I get is just that the prices are too high right now to make that kind of a deal. Maybe that lowers before Monday, but, given what we've seen in some of these trades, whether it's Brassard or others, there's a lot being given up for players with not much term. So, you'd have to give up a lot to get a guy like Ryan McDonough if that's what it were, and even more if it were Ryan McDonough and a forward from the Rangers. I tend to think when it push comes to shove, I don't think that kind of a deal is going to be made with this team, given where they are right now and given what they'd have to give up. If the prices drop, maybe that changes. But I still think it's going to end up being a rental winger that's going to come in here, whether it's Maroon, whether it's Vanek, whether it's somebody else, to come in and help them. If it becomes something bigger, then that I think everybody will be interested. But if I were Don Sweeney, I'd be treading very carefully right now with all the prospects that they have and not giving up too soon on somebody that they really covet and enjoy being a part of the Bruins.
Vanek makes your team a little bit slower.
Yep.
Vanek, yes, he can score some power play goals, but Vanek just doesn't do it for me. I mean, you really? What about you? You think it just doesn't do it for me? Underwhelming.
You know what? More than the slow thing, Billy, it's about that he disappears. And, you know, there are times where a guy with his skill and his ability just doesn't show up as much. And I think that's a concern for a player like that. And I think that's something that's happened throughout his career. And as he's gotten older, obviously, it happens more. But, you know, for the player that they want to get up front, right, that's going to be bigger, stronger, heavier, more experienced, older, I think it's going to slow them down no matter who it is. You know what I mean? There are varying degrees of slowing them down a little bit for sure, given which player it's going to be. But they've got tons of speed and they've got tons of skill right now, and they've got tons of youth on the wing. I think that's not what they need more of. They need more of is somebody that can – you know, hang in there in the battles and the playoffs, play heavy, and withstand a bigger, heavier team they might match up against in the postseason. And you're going to need bigger, stronger, more experienced players to do that. So I know what you're saying, and I don't know that there's a perfect player out there.
That
checks every single box, but I'd put him in the category, Vanek, anyway.
Well, yeah, I know. But Pat Maroon, to me, makes a lot more sense. He showed last year that he can play with pace in the playoffs. He's not going to be a speed demon. He doesn't need to be. But, you know, he had 11.7 goals last year in the playoffs. He can get his, a couple of years ago with Anaheim when he was playing there. He had three goals in 13 playoff games last year. I think with the right type of players, I don't know. I mean, he's not the end-all, be-all, but I think that he's got more of that presence come playoff time.
Yeah,
potential there.
Totally. But I think it's going to be that type of player. You know what I mean? That's what they need. They, aside from David Backes on the wing, very young, very undersized, fairly inexperienced on the wings, and I think that's going to be an area that's going to be able to be exploited by other teams when you get into the postseason. But, you know, same thing with Maroon, right? He can play with a little more pace, but he's not exactly a speed demon. He's a big, heavy guy that's going to throw hits. It's going to play mean and can finish a little bit, certainly might be a good combination with David Krejci. And I do think, if you're going to put the two side-by-side, Vanek and Maroon, that's definitely the guy I would want more and I think would be a better fit for the Bruins. You know, that type of player is I think, exactly what they need. Not perfect. I mean, we saw in that game against Edmonton the other night, he didn't do much in that game. There's going to be games like that for him, too. Any player that you're going to get in a rental situation, I think at this point, isn't going to be the fit like a glove kind of player. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a big need for them, and that's something they absolutely have to fill. Even if they don't shoot for the moon and get the top four stud defenseman that might be out there, if you get that kind of a player, I really like what Don Sweeney's done at the trade deadline.
Bruins made a couple of deals this week. They acquire Holden from the Rangers in exchange for O'Gara and a third-round draft pick. What do you expect out of Holden here down the stretch? And B, what do you think of the deal as far as what they gave up to get him?
I'm fine with what they gave up to get him. You're going to have to pay a little bit to get a defenseman that's basically been a top four for the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, he's been averaging around 20 minutes of ice time a game. They needed to get another guy that could play on the left side that could kill penalties, a bigger body with Torrey Krug and Matt Grzelcyk behind Zdeno Chara on the left side. You know, once again, if you match up against a bigger, heavier team or a team that's going to really hammer your back end in the playoffs, I think you need a guy like Holden to get in there and be able to weather some of those hits and be able to play as a 6'4", 215-pound guy. Can play a little bit more of that style. I mean, Matt Grzelcyk's been a great story. I think he's been fantastic, and he's done everything they've asked of him to do, and he's so good at turning the puck up with speed and moving it quickly. But you do wonder how he would fare and how he's going to fare down the stretch as these games get heavier and more intense physically. And certainly it gets more like that in the playoffs with some teams playing that way better, you know, than others. So I like it for all those reasons. I like that Don Sweeney got ahead of it and made the deal early. As I said, we're starting to see the prices that teams are paying to get some of these other players, and I think they're very premium-oriented, very high prices. So, you know, he jumped on the gun early, and he got the third-round pick right back that they gave up and improved their position in the third round with the deal for Frank Vetrano, sending him to Florida. So far, the two moves that the Bruins have done from Don Sweeney, I really, really like them.
You hearing anything regarding a guy like Carlo, how he's handling the name being in the media? He's not soft spoken, but he's a simple kid. He's very mature. He's an eloquent speaker. He's very, you know, but he's not what you would call loquacious and everything. But any rumblings how he's handling the rumors?
Who is this, Billy?
Carlo, Brandon Carlo.
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked to him. I talked to Jake yesterday. And, you know, Jake having his name thrown around, it was pretty clear. I think coming from a pro hockey background, maybe he can deal with it a little bit differently and a little bit better. He's sort of knowing that part of the business. But he still made it clear when I talked to him yesterday that he loves, you know, being a Bruin. And I think he's the type of kid that is going to be able to play well through that kind of stuff. Carlo, yeah, you know what? I think it's a little more difficult for him. I think you're right on. You're bang on with your instincts about him and who he is as a person, that I think it probably would impact him a little bit more, and maybe he has to compartmentalize it and just really push it away. But at the same time, you know, this is not the first time he's been through this. You know, he went through this last year with Colorado as well. I think by now in his second go-round, he might be a little more used to it. And maybe a little more adept at dealing with it. But I don't think it's easy for any of these guys, Billy, that obviously have been drafted and developed by the Bruins, have been a Bruin their entire career and don't want to go anywhere. You know, I think there's a good thing, obviously, that the Bruins are building right now. Don Sweeney and Cam and all these young guys want to be a part of it. And when they hear their name, you know, tossed around in the rumors, I don't think it's easy for any of them because I don't think they want to go anywhere.
Joe Haggerty joining us from up in Toronto, where the Bruins take on the Maple Leafs. Donnie Sweeney obviously has a lot of work to do here over the next couple of days, but I thought it was interesting to see some of the quotes from Bruce Cassidy yesterday about the you know, his team and what they've been through so far this season, how close they are, and you know, and him, it seemed like really kind of wants to, you know, you maybe tweak this team, but not make any significant moves to rock the boat with what his team is right now.
Yeah, and I think it's about, you know, what they've built so far and what they've done. And I think it's also about, you know, the chemistry that this team has and the backbone and the resilience and, you know, all of that stuff. I mean, every single hurdle that's been thrown in front of them this year, and they're going to have a huge one, you know, coming up now, starting tonight with 24 games in 44 days, just the end of the season. I mean, that's going to be extremely, probably the biggest challenge they've faced, maybe even more than the injuries at the start of the year, is trying to finish in one piece with momentum and, you know, not completely wipe themselves out in the last couple of months here. But everything that they've done, you feel like they're going to be able to handle it because everything that's been thrown at them this year, they've handled. With depth, with talent, with character, with all of that stuff. And, you know, I think Bruce Cassidy is kind of echoing that this team deserves to see how good they can be in the postseason. I think what we've seen so far with the mix of the veterans and the rookies and this specific group with all that they have this year, I think there's a lot of people that would like to see just, you know, a couple of additions rather than any subtractions from the major subtractions from the NHL roster. And just to see what they can do in the playoffs, to see what the potential is, to see how good they can be, and allow them that opportunity before you start making major moves, which could, you know, wait until maybe the draft instead of right now. But yeah, I think Cassidy was alluding a lot to the chemistry and what this team has put together this year and how much they've impressed him. And you know, I wouldn't want to alter the DNA of what they have right now too much. I want to see how good they are with a couple of additions to address some weak spots and then, you know, revisit it in the off season if you have to. That would be my approach if I were Don Sweeney. Easy for me to say.
Well, easy for you to say, but I was going to ask you, so would you be disappointed if they don't do anything else?
between now and Monday?
No, I think they do need to get a winger, like I said, with size, heaviness, experience, that can play top six, potentially play with David Krejci. But I don't. You're not necessarily going to have to give up something from your roster to get that. If you wanted a Rick Nash, I think you would have to give up something from your roster to get that. I think Jeff Gorton wants quite a bit for Rick Nash as the premier winger out there, and obviously with good reason. You know, he's got the cachet and the resume to back it up. But if you go out and you want to get a Patrick Maroon, for instance, I don't think you're going to have to give up anything from this NHL roster right now in order to make that happen and in order to get that player and get that deal done and bring in somebody, you know, that could help you. So I think there's still one move to make. I think that kind of a player is the one, the move to make and the one to bring home. And, you know, I don't think you're going to have to alter the DNA of this team to do it. And that's why they think they should do it. You know, that's the move you can make that's not going to negatively impact the team. And you're going to be able to see, you know, what the greater potential of this team is down the stretch and into the postseason.
Get a chance at all to see Frank Vetrano? I know he flew into town and then he ends up getting traded quickly. Any chance to see him at all? No. And I'm happy for him. I know you mentioned it earlier. I think it was a win-win for both teams, the deal.
Yeah, no, the team got together on the first day they were in Toronto and they didn't practice. We just had availability with Bruce Cassidy. I didn't see him around the Ritz at all before he was he traded away. But, you know, I think behind the scenes, there was a desire.
Oh, for a while. For a while.
From Frank, yeah, to want to maybe go and get an opportunity somewhere else. He'd kind of fallen behind Bjork and DeBrusque and Heinen here organizationally, and he really wasn't getting a chance to, you know, be top six, play power play, do all the things that kind of his skills would dictate that he should be if he's going to reach his potential. So I think a fresh start for him is what he wanted. I think it's something the organization wanted to give him. You know, he was a good soldier all year and didn't really take that public, which I think is a credit to him. And it is a win-win. You take an undrafted college hockey free agent and you're able to turn that into a third-round pick coming back your way. I think that's a win for the organization. And certainly going to a place like Florida, a young team where there's more opportunity, I think that's a win for Vetrano too. So, you know, this was something that was a long time coming, and I'm glad Sweeney was able to get the deal done and get some value back.
All right, Hags, appreciate the time. Enjoy your time
for
up
you,
in Toronto.
Hags. They're coming for you. I hear that.
Hey, I swear to God I paid for those Timbits, Billy.
Yeah.
All right. Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston, joining us. All right, final minute for us. Ultimately, do you think they make any big splash here before Monday?
Define big. I think they make an addition. I do.
Yeah.
I do think they make an addition. We said at the 9 o'clock when we started the show, I think that they need a winger more than they need a defenseman, and I do think they address that.
Right.
I don't know what level. It's going to come down to
it. Just depends on how, you know, how big
it is. It's a lame ass answer, but that's just the truth.
They'll add a winger. It could be somebody lower down the list than Nash or Maroon or some of the names that we've heard. Right?
I would be very surprised if they didn't add a winger.
Does Ryan McDonagh move?
And
I'm not just saying just here, but does he?
I would give it a 60% likely no.
Does Carlson move?
I'd give that a 60% likely yes.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
I think that there's, I think it's
there's a possibility Eric Carlson might be dressing for Ottawa for the last time today.
Yeah, there's a tenuous, from everything I understand, relationship a bit in Ottawa. You know, there wasn't, I don't know how things were so much with Phaneuf. And he got dealt, and, you know, I think they want to, I think they may be wanting to move on from that odd Eric Carlson relationship.
By the way, if you put any stock into it, because he's hit on some of these before, our boy Mike Commodore tweeted early this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Sens fans, get to see Eric Carlson today, because this is the last time you're going to see him.
I wouldn't, it wouldn't surprise me. It's not been as copacetic there in the last year as some would think for a team that made it to the Stanley Cup final.
All right. Full hour tonight for you guys?
Yeah, full hour pregame, 6 o'clock. Hockey Night in Canada, so 7:15 face up. Anyway,
okay, so an hour 15.
Well, we'll have a little.
We got some bonus Jaffe tonight.
And then tomorrow night as well.
Yeah.
Nesson pregame at 4 o'clock. It's a 5 o'clock face off in Buffalo. And then don't forget Monday, trade deadline show on Nesson Live, 2:30. To 4 o'clock.
All right, Judd and Bob have the call here tonight. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock face-off against Toronto. We'll talk to you next week here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.